We are going to speak on the power of the Holy Spirit. John 14:26 says, "But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." That's John 14:26. Here Jesus is speaking directly to us. Jesus had the Father dwelling in his heart, but now we have the Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts. And that is not all. Jesus promises in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it do I give it to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We have the peace of Jesus dwelling within us. And John 14:28-29 says, "You have heard how I said to you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you will rejoice, because I said, I go to my Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it has come to pass, that when it does come to pass, you might believe." Jesus told us everything he was going to do before he went to the cross, and he did it. And on Easter Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead in total and complete victory over sin, sickness, and death. He said it just as he said he would. Why do many people have trouble believing what he says? We need to believe more and more in faith of all that he's told us to do. Jesus says in John 15:4-19, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, nor can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is gathered up and cast into the fire where they are burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in me, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. Herein my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, and so be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Continue my love. Even as you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things are spoken to you that your joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man that a man lay his life for down his life for his friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command you, henceforth I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all these things I've heard from my Father I've made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and ordained you that you should go forth and bring fruit, and that your fruit may remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father my name, he'll give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. But because you are not in the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." And John 15:26 says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I shall send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me." The Holy Spirit has come and has been coming to every believer who will receive him for the over 2,000 years. Everything that Jesus said in the book of John has come true. Just as true as every miracle he did, every healing he did, and every teaching he's given us. Jesus is the truth, and he has proved himself to us. And the Holy Spirit within us teaches us all we need to know and brings to our remembrance all that we need at the given point of time. The Holy Spirit enables us to do the works of Jesus as we witness to others. John 16:2-4, though, does give us a warning. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yes, and the time comes that whoever kills you will think he's doing God's service. And these things they shall do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I've told you, that when the time shall come, you shall remember I told you of them. Are we ready to follow Jesus, whatever the cost? Let us make the choice and say yes. For even death cannot separate us from the love of God. Dwelling in John 16:2 a little more, the Lord showed me how the umbilical cord must be cut before babies can breathe on their own. And thus all the generations are born in this way. Then he showed me how Adam and Eve were spiritually alive before they sinned at the Garden of Eden, and how the God-given spirit within us would have worked in a similar way before the fall of man. But because of the fall of man, it's caused us to become spiritually dead. And then he showed us how receiving Jesus as Lord restores the silver cord through the Holy Spirit. Hosea 11:4 says, I drew them with cords of a man, with cords of love. Jeremiah 55:5 says, they shall ask the way to Zion with their faces turned, saying, come, let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And Ecclesiastes 12:6-7 says, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit return to God who gave it. The beautiful things of the earth are fragile and perish. But when we have a reverent and loving relationship with our Creator, God, the Spirit within us returns to God who gave it. And Romans 8:35-39 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. These wonderful words show us that when we receive Jesus and his Holy Spirit abides in us, nothing whatsoever can sever our connection with Christ. Our connection with Christ is like a cord that is invisible yet stronger than steel. For just as death could not separate Jesus from God, we too cannot be separated from Christ by death, but we will return to God in our spirits and live forever with him. Living for God therefore becomes our greatest desire on earth, and getting to know God more and more brings us into a new dimension. It is not just living for God, but rather living and acting from within the presence of God in joyful obedience formed from our relationship with him. We learn more and more to see with him what is to be our course of action, knowing he is with us and that he will do what we cannot do in miracle workings and in healing the sick. This type of service is more teamwork with God, and when it is fully effective, it results in much fruit. Working from within God's presence is much more effective than just working for him. And it's only in prayer that we can discover this and live it out in action. On one occasion, I was called to our ranch to help cast out a demon which other people had already spent 2.5 hours trying to do. But the demon kept challenging them. As I entered the room, the demon pointed directly at me through the man's hand and growled, "I know who you are. You go around the world preaching the gospel. I'll tear you to pieces." And suddenly he launched at me like a tiger, and I leapt backwards as 4 men pounced on him to get him back on the ground, where they sat on him and held him down. "I'm not going back to the abyss. I'm staying right here, for we are legion," the demons went on, as we carried on trying to cast them out. And after 30 minutes of this, I had to leave, so I had to teach a riding lesson. So I suggested that the intercessory team fast for 7 days and then get that man to forgive someone first, and then only then cast out the demons. So we bound the demons down and we ended it there for that day. Later, I approached the Lord to ask him why had the demons tried to attack me, and why had I not been able to cast them out then and there? It took me a full week of seeking God in my quiet time with him. And on the 7th day, the Lord showed me Ephesians 4:15. "But speaking the truth in love, you may grow up into him in all things which are the head, even Christ." And the Lord showed me that I had to grow into that level of taking command over that size of demon. And then he showed me Ephesians 6:10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And this showed me that as I would grow up in Christ in prayer, I would be able to then grow up into the power of his might and have the authority of his name to cast out that level of demon. Because legion is many demons. That was the same demon that Jesus cast into the pigs, and then all the pigs ran into the lake and drowned. And you'll see that in the Gospels. Then the Lord showed me to Colossians 2:9-10. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And I realize that it's only by us living in Christ through prayer and action that we can attain his authority and power over every demon and every sickness. For without Christ, we are powerless to do anything. And if we are only spending a limited time in God's presence, how then can we fully live in him or have the authority over demons or sicknesses that we try and cast out in his name? It is only when we grow into Christ's presence through prayer and lifestyle that we begin to live in his presence, in the heavenly realm, even as we walk on this earth. Only as we live in Christ, that is yielded to him in every area of our lives, knowing his glorious presence by knowing him through prayer, that we begin to live our lives from within his presence in effective, victorious work on this earth and gain in Christ full victory to cast out every demon and every sickness in the name of Jesus. And this is my goal, to pursue and grow up in Christ in every way until it's attained in my life and lived out in my life in every way. And he has dramatically changed me already, and he's still changing me and teaching me how to do this to more and more effective levels. Now, every saying of Jesus on only doing the Father's will teaches us the different areas that will affect our lives so that we are raised up into a new level of walking in him. The more we come to know God, the more we will know how to walk in him as we serve him in the ministries which he has entrusted to us. To come to know God more also means we must wait on him more in prayer. Waiting on God is not passive, but is a passion to do his will. It is about waiting on him for wisdom or instructions on how to do his will, or for an answer to a problem, and then for his wisdom of how to deal with it. When the Lord told me to reach every village for him in the African countries where he sent me, at first I said, that's impossible, even in two lifetimes. But then the Lord said, I will show you how. So I had to really wait on God to find out how. And then the Lord revealed to me that it would be by raising up other local evangelists from within these countries, own indigenous people, training them and equipping them by Bible training, that these evangelists would be sent out to the remote villages to plant churches. And this did not all come at once, but gradually, step by step, over 2 years. And the visions from God grew to over 100 Bible schools with about 4,000 students. And this spread then over 18 countries of Africa. These students have since planted thousands of churches and are baptizing new believers every week. We have about 10,000 students a year. And it is our love for God that motivates us to be disciplined about waiting on him, to find out how to express our love for him creatively and effectively in service. Without this discipline and focus, we would fail to hear God in some instances and make mistakes. Waiting on God with such intense focus will draw him to answer us and equip us for the work ahead. And Psalm 37 verse 9 says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. And the Lord is interested in drawing to himself not just few groups of people here or there, but whole nations. And he will link us up with like-minded people to do this work. And he will speak to others just as he speaks to us. And he will join us together to serve him. And the Lord has linked me to people who had exactly the same vision. And he's given me, and together with his help, we are sending these evangelists to reach every village in every area of each country. The Lord did not leave it there. He encouraged me. As I looked at the millions of ripples at a large lake in New Zealand, he gave me a strong impression that each ripple represents one evangelist. And the next step was to wait on him with the earnest request of how all this would be done. And waiting on the Lord is continuous. And out of this work of the many evangelists that go out to plant churches in remote villages, there are so many of them that the Lord then took me to the area where this river was coming out of this lake. And we saw the waves, the many, many ripples coming into waves as a river was rushing out of the lake into the river. And he says, the many, many ripples of each evangelist, like the ripples on the lake, as they work together, it would then bring about a wonderful wave of God's revival that he wants to bring across the lands of Africa and Asia. And I'm holding on to God's vision as we train up more and more evangelists each year to do this work, so that revival will come back into Africa and Asia. Oh, God loves his people so much. God is doing it. All we have to do is pray, hear him and obey him, and God does the rest. Each of these evangelists, each African evangelist I send out in the name of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, with God's touch on their lives, I trust the Holy Spirit to lead them and guide them step by step. And it's the evangelists that are doing the work of bringing God's name across the lands of Africa. It's the evangelists. That you are all precious in God's sight. And if you rise up in prayer, he can use you. And we have leaders in each country where you can connect with. And you can connect with Bobo. He is running Bible schools in Sierra Leone. He will give you his phone number at the end of this program so that you can contact with you. And then you can join him and go through our Bible school of evangelists. And if you can't even do that, you can go on our website. Just type in suzannesministries.co.uk. Our entire Bible School of Evangelism is on there. You can download them free of charge, and those teachings will enable you to rise up as an evangelist to go out and spread the good news of Jesus. He loves you so, so much. And if you, some of you have not received Jesus yet as Lord or Savior, or have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. Just pray after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you as I am. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and rising from the dead on the third day because of your love for me. You want to forgive my sins, heal my body, and give me eternal life, and equip me to do the work you want me to do on earth. Please, Lord, forgive me my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I choose to follow you in truth and righteousness right now. Thank you for forgiving me. Please come into my heart and life as my Lord and Savior. Lord, please baptize me in your glorious Holy Spirit. Teach me how to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And if you said that prayer, you are now born again to eternal life as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You already have the Holy Spirit now coming to dwell in your heart. You can command sicknesses leave in Jesus' name. If you have a sickness, command that sickness leave your body now in Jesus' name. Come on, pain, go in Jesus' name. Command your body be healed in Jesus' name. Now lay your hand on your sickness or your pain. Say, Lord Jesus, please lay your hand on my hand, and I will be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Receive your healing. Now, a few things you've got to do. Pray every day. Get to know God and listen for him to speak to you. Buy yourself a Bible and read it. The Bible will train you in all truth, righteousness, and wisdom that you need. Join a Bible-believing church and get baptized in water. And tell others what you have done. God bless you so much. Remember, God loves you so much. And I'll now hand back to our host.
Thank the Lord for this wonderful Easter message. This is a powerful, powerful message this morning, people of Sri Lanka. And I'm telling you, when we have this kind of message, we will see the transformations on the nations, the power of God. So, Susan, we just want to say thank you for bringing the live walk into this country in such a time as this. We want to say thank you for your great hospitalities of your message that you bring to the nation at this crucial time.